Well, welcome to the situation report. And this is the second post last. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to move on to something else. But here I am again, show, to talk about yet again more bullshit. So Colonel Johnson decided to jump on with me today because there's so much going on. Let me first address the Trump, Elon Musk social media spat. There is a lot of conjecture about what it means and what it's all about. My view of the whole thing is it's distraction, and it's you know, they're already just, you know, clamoring to release the Epstein files. And there's a, I think it was a clandestine, Bruce, that was talking about it. Yeah, you can you take it from here.
I was just looking. It says, war clandestine on X is saying, holy shit, it's already working. Did we just psyop the Dems into demanding the release of the Epstein files? Careful what you wish for. And he has a link to Eric Swalwell saying, release the Epstein files now.
Well, we all know that Swalwell isn't very, very smart. In fact, he's very dumb. We also know that most of the Dem squad are dumber than a sack of rusty hammers. So take your pick. There's probably, I don't know, 10 or 15 angles of this. My view of this is very simple. This is just distraction for whatever reason, whether it's because Trump is the guy that authorizes the release of all the information anyway. So if he's serious about it, all he has to do is call Pam Bondi, you know, Fox News Barbie, and say, release the paperwork. It's that simple, right? So it makes the part that's interesting about it is the timing for Musk, right? But if you think about the timing overall, I think EM was right that this is a precursor to the midterms to out all the pedophiles and to out all the people that are in Congress that need to go, as well as, you know, some of the you know, left and right that have committed treason, like Lindsey Graham and was it Blumenthal that went over to Ukraine? It's treason.
Yep.
Blumenthal, like, and Lindsey Graham. Yeah. Just like Pompeo, treason. They not only did they violate the Logan Act, but they went over there and conducted an attack during, you know, peace conversations between Trump and Putin. I mean, there's no clearer indicator of treason than that. So to me, it's just distraction. Anyway, I think there's a lot going on. I think the thing here's the signal that I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for them to drop the doomsday tapes and show people what they were really doing on the island. I'm waiting for the response from Russia. That to me is signal. And I would not be surprised if he's got carte blanche to go after some of these senators. And I, rightfully so. But that's what I'm waiting for. I think everything else, white noise. It's just white noise. I mean, what's happening on the ground in Ukraine? Does anybody really know? Do we still have the spigot open? Do we still have the funnel open? I don't think anybody's really paying attention to it. Are the Russians still moving? Are the Russians not moving? What are they doing? So there's a number of ways you can look at this. But to me, a spat in social media is either a psyop or it's distraction. There's no two ways about it. Just leave that there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm seeing first of all, I'm seeing a lot of things in the market economically. I'm seeing, so
we started the new stock
tank. Oh yeah. I started the new channel and my day job has been so intense for the past month that I literally can't break away long enough to do a show. There's that much going on in the cyber front. And if I was a betting man, which by the way, I'm not, and I was watching the Russians, I would look at what they did in Georgia when they went into Georgia. They conducted cyber attacks on all the critical infrastructure and took down all their comms and completely disrupted the entire country. through cyber attacks. And we've seen just in the last couple of, you know, last 3 weeks, there's been this massive uptick of cyber attacks across the planet. So I would not be surprised at all if the Russians conduct some kind of a cyber attack through a proxy that disrupts our operations, at least disrupts our economy. I mean, it's sure looking that way. And then you've got, you know, not a space agency releasing information about solar flares, which is BS, which thank God for Ben Davidson, right? But they're setting the stage and they're setting the table for some kind of an event to happen. And if you're, you know, really going down the rabbit hole, you can see the event happening. And I'm going to say very soon, because the attacks in Russia, the uptick of not only the gang activity, but the violence in Europe, you're seeing the social fiber across our country and the conflict rising every day. You're seeing a host of people going off the reservation for a variety of reasons. And it's not Palestine. To me, the Palestinian protesters and all the Gaza stuff, those are all paid protesters. They were trying to create another summer of love. And it's not gaining traction because most Americans, they just don't care, right? If people really cared about Gaza, they would have put an end to it. But they haven't. They haven't done shit. And so, you know, it all marches on. But I'll say this. So we did a show yesterday. Seth and I did a show about AI, right? What's coming? Not from the perspective of what have we already seen, but what's coming, right? Most people are training for the previous war. Like all those guys with all their kit and all their bullshit and all their, you know, ammo and weapons and all that stuff, thinking that this is going to be a kinetic fight. This is going to be a technology fight that's kinetic. And people are looking at it the other way around. All I got to do is go look at the battlefield in Russia. It's completely reshaped, and we're going through a transformation in warfare right now. And most people aren't even paying attention to it. I mean, they've got kinetic weapons, non-kinetic weapons. They've got energy weapons. They've got sound wave weapons. They've got, I mean, just take your pick, bioweapons, chemical weapons. This fight is going to be technical more than it's going to be kinetic. And
did you see the post that Jan shared the other day of the, I don't know, it sounded like a couple hundred thousand drones all moving together in China?
Yeah.
And
they could build millions of them every month.
This last week, all the drone related stocks have been skyrocketing the last few days. I did pretty well actually on a couple of them ever since the Russia thing. And I think that speaks to the people are waking up to the revolution in military affairs that you're talking about.
Yeah. And you know, the a big part of what we're seeing is a ramp up to war. I mean, there's every government on the planet is telegraphing it right now that we're going to be at war. And so, you know, the other thing too is, I don't know if you've seen this or not, but the negativity across all of social media and across all of the news media has ramped up exponentially. And the anti-Jew rhetoric, the anti-Muslim rhetoric, the anti-Christian rhetoric, the anti-Catholic rhetoric, it's all out there to stir up people and get them agitated. And I keep saying the same thing to people, but you know, people aren't listening. You got to stay out of the emotional space of this stuff. Like this Palantir thing, people are up in arms about Palantir. They're already doing it. For Trump to announce that he's going to give that contract and that assignment to Palantir means they've already done it. They've already created a national database of most Americans. They're profiling most Americans. They've got probably dossiers on just about everybody listening to this show, and it was done probably years ago. It's just now they're announcing it to make it okay. Just like the mRNA technology that Scam Altman and Larry Ellis were talking about in the Oval Office. They've already got the technology perfected. They're just trying to roll it out and get the public to accept it. And the public's not accepting it. The public's never going to accept it because most of the public, you know, minus the press, the AMA, the pharmaceuticals, and all the people that are in the medical industry that still buy into it, Most people have figured out that the shots were toxic and didn't do anything other than kill people. But yet they just approved the new Moderna self-replicating mRNA vaccine. Okay. Nobody's going to take it. You can try another lockdown, but that'll result in gunfire. But the point is that there's more and more rhetoric out there to divide people. And there's more and more rhetoric, as well as, you know, deep fakes and AI, to keep people amped up in the negative cycle. And I just see this Trump shit as more of that. Cause look, let's say for all intents and purposes, I'm going to throw the Q crowd a bone. Let's say all that bullshit's real. Let's say all those posts and all that bullshit around so-and-so's getting arrested and save Israel for last and trust bar, all that bullshit. Let's say they come out and say, we had to conduct all these operations in order to defeat this cabal of really evil, sick pedophiles, humma, humma. You know what my answer is going to be? It's going to be, that's great. Now you can fuck off. All of you can fuck off. Because there's a whole country of people that would willingly stand up and go face these people face to face and put them in jail if we actually knew who they were. And if you trusted the public to be mature enough to handle some of this information, you probably wouldn't have had to go through all this nonsense, no matter how powerful you think these people are. There's more of us than them. And if you mobilize the public to go against the real enemy, you don't have to worry about raising an army or fighting an army, because you're going to have one at your doorstep. If most people realize exactly what they were doing to children, and they showed the doomsday tapes of all these Diddy parties and all these Epstein parties where they were torturing and murdering children, trust me, you wouldn't need to raise an army. You wouldn't have to worry about the blackmail ops, because the public would hunt these people down. There's not a lot of math here. But yet, there's this prevailing wisdom that there's this big, stupid psyop going on. And, you know, it's just, to me, there's a political space, there is a blackmail space, and whoever's running the blackmail ops is still running blackmail ops in a different format. And until all of that's exposed, until somebody grows a pair and starts releasing real information that people can use. But here's the problem. You start releasing that information now, and what's everybody going to say? That's AI generated. It's not real. It's AI generated.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is why I did a whole show on it. Talked about it. If you saw the truth, would you believe it? Like, yeah. UFOs? Who knows? There's so much garbage about UFOs out there right now. Who knows what's real? Do I think there's aliens on this planet? Yeah, because Mark Zuckerberg's one of them. You know, so is Maxine Waters. So is Mitch McConnell. They all look like aliens to me. But that said, go ahead.
Can I add something? Well, I feel like this last month or so, we were talking about this before the show started, just on the chat, with it's just split MAGA into a million pieces. I mean, on every single thing that they have not performed on, which is a list of like 10 major things, you know, they've managed to divide and conquer MAGA. I believe. And this Mega, today,
Maha,
yeah. All of it. Yeah. And today with the Epstein, Elon, Trump, you know, news, that basically is the final coup de grace on unity within, you know, the base that elected Trump.
I think what's going to happen is the base is turning on Trump, right? It's not splintering the MAGA movement. It's what it's splintering is. It's splintering support for him, and it's fomenting a revolution. That's what's happening. True. Because people are starting to realize in very short order that the only way we're going to reform the system is to burn it to the ground. Absolutely. Because these people are too corrupt. Look, Mike Johnson, he's done what since Trump came into office? Fuck all. He's done nothing. He creates nothing. He does nothing. They've been on vacation more than they've been at work. And the big, beautiful bill, I thought we as the American public set out a mandate to do one-page bills.
He's the grim son. He's the worm tongue from Lord of the Rings.
He's a homosexual that's playing a Christian like the rest of the Congress that wants you to believe they're Christian. Look at me. And what's her name?
MTG.
Yeah, thank you. She didn't read the bill.
But she did come out and say she's against it. I saw that.
After she voted for it. Like, bitch, you have one job. One job. Read the fucking bill. One job. You have a staff. Your staff can't read? You have a bunch of illiterates working for you? Are you fucking kidding me? Read the bill. Because what's the first thing they say to a pilot? RTFM. Read the fucking manual.
Yeah.
Know the manual. Operate within the manual.
Or RTFQ.
That's what they tell you, right?
Yeah.
But a politician, I didn't read a fucking 5,800-page bill to find out what was in it. I just voted for it. Stop pointing your ankles at the ceiling and do your job. My God. If you spent less time on your back and more time doing your job, this shit wouldn't happen. There's not a lot of fucking math here. That's the exact problem that most people are seeing now. Mm-hmm. That even the people that are quote unquote mega, even the people that are quote unquote America first, are completely compromised. Like, you're telling me that you're so wrapped up in making sure we restore the country that you can't take the time to do the due diligence to read a bill that you know is full of pork. And yet you say it after the fact? That's a cop out. My God. Say you're more compromised.
Well, and not to mention, did you see the video or the press conference with Mertz today in the White House?
Okay, first of all, I don't watch press conferences from the White House.
But
I don't watch the daily update. I don't watch congressional hearings. I don't watch any of the news channels. No, didn't see it. But sorry.
Still, to see them up there basically having a love fest, and here's the guy Mertz, which is the most gung-ho for World War III with Russia, almost, of the European leaders, saying that they're going to send the Russian, you know, the Ukrainians, their cruise missiles that are nuclear capable on the, you know, right after they've had the attack of the last weekend. And it just makes Trump look like a buffoon.
Trump does look like a buffoon.
Where is
already said that he's going to stop the war in 24 hours. And here we are 150 days in.
Right. Well, having Mertz in the White House after that bombing, after, you know, fucking Graham and Blumenthal and what's his face, Pompeo. It's like, okay, it pretty much looks like Trump is on board with the compromise. Trump's on board with Team Graham, you know.
Yeah, maybe he is in the
Epstein files. In a way, I don't know what's
going on. Maybe he's in the Epstein files. I've said it before. It's worth saying again. Everybody's somebody's bitch. Whose bitch is he? He's somebody's bitch. Everybody thought Elon was his bitch or he was Elon's bitch, but whose bitch is he? Is he Thiel's bitch? Is he Ellis's bitch? Whose bitch is he? And that's really the question. Or is it, you know, he's still a bitch to the Europeans? There's a quick way to solve the problem with Europe. A very quick way. You drive their economies into the ground. Then they can't do shit. And their five gay troops are not going to go anywhere. The French will just drop their weapons. And the Germans will be too busy arguing about what color they're supposed to wear to get out of the truck. So what are you worried about? Just saying. I think Putin knows that, right? But the thing we haven't seen with this all this nonsense in Ukraine is we haven't seen the economic war, right? Russia could really turn the screws to Europe, and he hasn't done it. He could have turned off the gas, and he hasn't done it. He could have turned off the spigot for all the products and goods and services, mainly the food, and he hasn't done it. Why? If this was really a war against Europe, which everybody knows it is, he would have done something already. And, you know, Trump talks a big game, but the spigot's still on to Ukraine. The spigot's still on to Israel. And whatever happened to him saying, we're going to move into Gaza and take over and rebuild it. Whatever happened, and we're going to move in and take over Syria. I mean, great idea, but where is it? All of it's noise. If he was serious about doing any of this, he would have done it already. And you're telling me, and this I believe, that there's that many insurgents that are still left over from the Obama-Biden regime. And by the way, the American people are not going to believe a word this guy says until people start getting perp-walked. Like, why haven't they arrested Obama? Why haven't they arrested Brennan? Why haven't they arrested any of the rest of them? Rice, Holder, Clapper.
Right.
Why aren't these guys in prison? They all committed treason. And look, let's just call a spade a spade. If they were serious about it, they'd have done it. Right? And what happened to Bongino and Cash? You know, talking a big game before they went over there. What happened? Did they get threatened? Did they get, were they given a handler? What is it?
Yeah.
And again, it's information that if they just gave to the American people and trusted the American people are mature enough to handle it, they might see the American public rally behind them. But instead, it's this nonstop drama-laced nonsense that, you know, like James O'Keefe and his big reveal that was like, really? You were going to go into hiding for that? Really? Everybody knew that. You're not saying anything new. It's the same shit. It's the exact same shit. And to me, all of the noise, all the drama, and all the other BS that we're seeing is just to divide the public even farther. Exactly. Because what's the one thing that is missing across the whole spectrum of our country and the planet for that matter? Unity. Yeah. There's no unity. You know, I talked to Will Walker the other day, and first of all, he's a fantastic guy. Fantastic guy. I was so impressed by talking to him. Super wicked smart dude. Wicked smart. He's been doing his own thing. You know, he's got a food channel. He's in a tech channel. He's in a radio channel, and he's been in the prepping spaces. And I'm saying to him, we're talking about doing talking about prepping stuff. And his point was very salient. He said, the prepping thing doesn't mean a thing. Doesn't buy you any mileage if you're doing it by yourself. You have to be in a community, a resilient community that is working together without, you know, somebody being larger and in charge in order for that to really be beneficial to everyone, because there's strength in numbers. And if things go sideways, you're only going to survive in a strong community. And oh, by the way, you need unity. You need to be able to work with people and be able to operate in an environment where you don't need people telling you what to do. How many people do you know have self-discipline, have the ability to push aside their differences to work with other people? I could probably name those names on one hand. And that's the problem. Until we get to that space where we can put people into a where people can operate in any environment without the need to have somebody telling them what to do, and can be self-organized, be resilient, and most importantly, be self-disciplined with a moral compass, yeah, we're lost. And that's why I say to everybody all the time, stay out of the emotional space. All this nonsense is just emotional stuff, right? The thing that gets under my skin and really pisses me off, it has nothing to do with any of that. It's the fact that all these pundits say how much they love this country, but none of them are really putting their foot in the water to say, to do anything to change the situation. And I look at the Patriots that talk a big game, but they don't have their name out there. They don't follow through and do anything in the community. I mean, I've probably talked to 30 or 40 people in the last 60 days about doing shows, and it all boils down to the same thing. Everybody that was making progress is burned out, and they're all backing away from it because of the same thing. There's no unity in anything. You can't put anything out without a bunch of negativity and blowback. And, you know, I took a really big step back when I put together the path forward, because I wanted people to be able to action the information we're giving them, right? Like, what do you do with the child trafficking? How do I protect my kids from child trafficking? What are some things I can do to change my situation? And, you know, that to me creates unity. When you put out something that people can use and there's no politics, there's no bias, there's no bullshit attached to it, people can absolutely positively do something with that information. That to me is what builds unity. And that's where my head's at right now, because it's the one thing we don't have. Hey, let me have a shot.
Can I piggyback on that? Just like one thing I've noticed, you know, we recently tried to have our son in public school again this last year, and we pulled him out 2 months ago. And it actually, the school was overall pretty good. But the thing is that realizing we're back to homeschooling now, and I don't think we're going to look at him going back to a normal school until later in middle school or high school possibly. And the thing that I keep coming up with is if you have the ability to do it, is it's the biggest way to give the big F you to the system that you can do immediately in your family. And the other thing I think that people need to realize is that, especially any people that are listening to our show, you're by virtue of being here, you're good enough to be better than any school is going to be for your kids. You've already, you know, met the test, and to have all the much greater amount of time with your kids is just amazing.
Anyway. Yeah. And I think if you can homeschool anyway, I think it's better off, especially now with all the indoctrination and all of the communist influence, but more importantly, the grooming. God, it's just
exactly.
It's well, then that's what you're grooming the shit out of kids right now.
Right. That's what you triggered me on there. Yeah.
By God, that Washington State, couldn't they just, why don't they just come out and say, we're all a bunch of fucking pedophiles, gay pedophiles that want to groom little boys? Because everything they've passed stripped away parents' rights to go after somebody for abusing their kid. Like, you would think the parents in Washington State be like, wait a minute.
Well, and I said this to my wife. I was like, imagine this. You're giving a freaking government entity 7 hours or 8 hours of time with your kid where you have no control. And if they do anything, now you have to sue the government.
Well,
you know, now it's an attack upon the government, and they are going to use the whole force of the government to stand against you. So it's a totally one-sided deal. I mean,
yeah,
they have all the power in that situation. And
no, that's the misnomer right there. They don't have all the power. They want you to think they do.
Legally, because, they do, though.
But you know what? They have deep pockets to stall, delay, attack, and do whatever.
Right.
But trust me, when there's 100 million people standing at their doorstep with firearms, their legal power doesn't mean jack shit. And that's what's coming.
I agree.
Trump has set the conditions for the second American Revolution. And whether he did it wittingly or unwittingly, I don't care. But he set conditions for the second American Revolution. And this one will be technical, kinetic, and probably biological. And when it happens, not if it happens, it's going to be one major fight after another until these people are gone. Not attrited, not capitulated, gone. Because they've created an entire class. And let's talk about the child trafficking thing for a second. The reason why this is such a pressure point for me is that it's not about what they do to children. It's about the fact that they ritualistically do it to children to create more pedophiles, to create serial killers, to create sociopaths. It's a regimen to literally reshape that kid. Whether it's a male or female doesn't matter. So they've created over the last four decades, they've created, for let's say 10 decades, they've created a class of pedophiles in every institution in our society that have no moral compass whatsoever, that you can't reform. These people can't be reformed. And the fact that people are waking up to it, they're only waking up to what they're doing. They're not waking up to what they are. And until we wake up to what these people are, we won't have the ability to fight them. And you're right, Bruce. They have all the power when it comes to the legal fight right now. But when people get mobilized, and they will get mobilized, and they stand on the doorstep, you'll find all the cowards running away.
Right.
The legal battle is just, it's right now, right? There's the here and now, and there's the what's going to transpire.
Well, the other thing I'd... Yeah, I agree with you. But I think leading up to that, another reason to emphasize homeschooling is, you know, we've all heard of Bill Bupert's, what was it, the Storming America series. And we've heard Sarah Adams, you know, PSYOPs and everything else. And I believe, you know, right now, given the situation that Steve's already laid out here today, we're going into greater and greater chaos. And the best thing you can do is have your kids out of that chaos, out of that area where they can be either influenced, taken advantage of, or hurt physically. Because, you know, I think we're going to see, they're going to eventually use everything they have as pawns. They will use our kids as pawns. They will use the schools as pawns. And the sooner you get your kids out of that situation, the greater protection you're going to be able to give to them when stuff truly does hit the fan. That's all I've
been saying. They've been using the taxation for the school kids and the schools for, they've already been leveraging the kids against us.
Absolutely.
Anyways, for a long time. Let me throw this thing in to the mix. With you homeschooling, look into, and I recommend everybody does, it's something that's kind of gained pretty good ground in our area. Families are getting together and forming little schoolhouses of their own.
100%. Yes.
And
it is. And that's how you beat the system right there.
Yeah.
And everybody out of public school, so there's only one or two people left in the inner cities. And what are they going to do? Force you back to school? Hey, go fuck yourself.
Yep. And yeah. And what they're doing is, so they're allowing parents to rotate through, you know, they do it at somebody's house. They have like 10 kids or so, 15 kids, and the parents will rotate each day a week. So nobody's stuck unless they absolutely want to be, right. You know, 5 days a week. And that way the parents can still work and still kind of maintain, you know, an upper hand on whatever fiscal situation they're in, you know, but taking that platform taking that model and recreating and discovering in your own area
what is that doing though? That's creating a sphere of influence in the community. You're building a resilient community. You're increasing your line of sight because you're adding more people. You're also working with other people that are just as, you know, aligned as you are. So it gives you, there's a lot of benefits to it, right? And that's, this has to be a community effort. So you're
sponsored. Yeah, it's the only way we're going to survive whatever hell is coming through. And yeah, I was listening earlier before I was able to jump in, but going back, you know, to a little bit to the beginning, you know, the closer your neighbors are, the easier it is to kind of form. But the further out you go, it's a little harder to maintain, you know, those relationships. You know, the further out in the rural area you go, the one thing is the majority of the people that live in the rural area are more, you know, pro family, pro America, all that good stuff. But there are, I know in my area that this massive farm, big farm, are flying the Ukraine flags still. You know, so there are those individuals out there that have, you know, massive amounts of land, big farms that might not align with you so much.
Who cares? The strength of numbers. So who cares?
Yeah.
Right. At some point you will see two things happen. You'll see people move over to the other side, meaning they could be on the left and move to the right. And then you'll see people depart the area, or you'll see people, die off. That's how the game's going to be played. So there's not going to be this whole gray versus blue. That's not going to happen this time around. Maybe it will, but I don't see it. I see this being a long, protracted, asymmetric fight with a lot of technology at the start and then sticks and stones at the end of it. And whoever's left standing is going to be the one that rules the world. So,
yeah. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's always going to end at the hilt. Yeah.
Well, this time around, it's existential, right? Somebody said it was spiritual in the chat. I agree. This is a spiritual fight. And this is a fight that all of us have geared up for, right? We were all convinced it was going to happen after the last election. We figured that Trump was going to win because they institutionalized the cheating and supposedly he overcame the vote. Not sure I buy into that, and like the poll shift thing, I'm not sure how much I buy into that. And, the list goes on and on. But the point I'm trying to make is this time around, it's going to be a lot different. There's not going to be the same level of production, et cetera, that we had in the Civil War, right? Because that's the other thing that we're missing. So, and the other part of this too is that the people we're facing on the other side, these people are mentally ill. I mean, when you start really digging into the extreme left, these people are all mentally ill. We're not fighting a cause. We're fighting an illness. And, society's sick for a lot of reasons. But the mental health issues, skyrocketing. So, and SSRIs are going to fix that.
So how, in the grand scheme of things, for the moral and the virtuous, you don't necessarily... I don't know. I mean, I guess it's something everybody's going to have to decide how they deal with those mentally ill people in their sphere, maybe.
Well, you don't let them in. You vet them and you throw them out. I mean, let's call spade a spade, right? You're not going to, hey, are you borderline? Come on in. Are you a psychopath? Yeah, come on in. You're looking, your sphere of influence about people can trust. You could trust, that can communicate, that can work with others, that are self-reliant, they're self-disciplined, they have a very rigid moral compass. I mean, basically, you want the best, the cream of the crop, right? So,
absolutely.
Yeah. So you're going to vet people, and if they're not going to survive in the community, and they're not going to help this community, then they don't stay in the community. And that's the reality. And the same should go for the homeschooling, right? You'll see a lot of parents get on the train, but how many of those parents actually don't participate in the rotation? If they don't participate in the rotation, guess what? I don't care what your excuse is. We're not, all of us are not doing this to help your kids. We're doing it to help all of our kids because we're all willing to participate. If you're not, then go somewhere else or pay somebody. But either way, you're not getting over. Right. And that has to be your mentality with the entire, sphere of influence that you're building. Because let's just say the worst case scenario happens, if the economy collapses and there's, widespread famine, you're going to have good people around you to survive. That's just the bottom line.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to have to basically have miniature communes and a little flavor of communism in a way to have everybody pitch in.
I'm going to pretend that I didn't hear communism in that sentence, and that it was more of a risk-based, choice-based society that was based on people who actually have a moral compass and don't need leadership. But
Bolshevik. Yeah. Bolshevik drink.
The point's made, right? Is that the way out of this mess is for communities to come together. And The other thing I see happening too is we already saw it during COVID. We saw a mass migration of people from blue states to red states and et cetera, right? And as the blue states started clamping down with more and more taxation, more and more regulation, more and more laws, then people that were on the fence and people were in the middle, they started leaving. And it basically, it's that migration is going to continue, I think, even with the economy in the tank, because people are not going to stay in these authoritarian societies. And the ones that do are signed up for it anyway, so they'll embrace whatever. But at the end of the day, the polarization already, most of that already has started, and that migration's already started. So I think we'll see more of that, especially as states get more and more lobotomized. And I think ultimately that will be one of the reasons why a revolution is possible. So
yeah, you just gotta keep those migrants in check. I mean, you know, when shit hits the fan and collapse, I mean, you know, like Bracken always says, you know, get out of the blue states, and you know, you're gonna have a mass migration from state to state, people looking to escape, and how are you going to handle that as well?
Yep, exactly. Oh, I guess Steve's not there for a second. I was just looking. I'm assuming a lot of our readers, our followers here, read Western Rifle Shooters, and there's an awesome meme right at the top of Western Rifle Shooters, which has the meme made out of Trump and Elon that's based on the Stalin and what's his face photo where they show the picture later when Stalin had him taken out of the picture. I can't remember the guy.
Trotsky.
Yeah. Yes. I believe it was the Trotsky and Stalin photo. That's pretty brutal. I wish I could get it up on the
screen. You know, for whatever it's worth, I mean, you know, I know a lot of it's noise and, you know, Elon's flapping off at the gums, but, you know, he's threatening to cut services and stuff back now. And, you know, and this afternoon I was hearing calls for Trump to invoke the War Powers Act on the basis of national security and take over Starlink. Holy I thought God. That was a pretty interesting proposal for, you know, if
so he's willing Elon to do that,
keeps all fucking arrest, around.
But he won't arrest Graham and Blumenthal and fucking Pompeo. I mean,
it's all noise. It's all of it's noise. It's just noise. I mean, he said a lot of words since he took office. And Pam Bondi said a lot of words since she came into office and was anointed. But they've done nothing. So to me, it's just a bunch of it's a more words put together that don't mean anything until there's actual action. And maybe that's the whole theater. Maybe the whole part of the theater is so the government can take control of Starlink and make it a national asset. Because think about it, you make it military and then it becomes a collection asset. And that's how I have seen it all along. You give everybody internet and then you collect on them. And you hook it up to AI and let the AI monitor. Guess what? Best collection platform in the world. And well, people put so much in social media.
For that's free.
That's what Jan said on Twitter, you know, that when Elon opened up X, that it was like the operation, that was it Flowers campaign in the communist China?
Yeah, it was to lure everybody back. It was to bring everybody back because it was a ghost town. And remember who started Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all. It's all CIA. It's all intelligence agencies. So when you look at it from that perspective, look, I'm on Twitter. All I do is flame people on Twitter. I don't really, you know, sometimes I'll do a long post, but for the most part, I don't. And it's because I recognize what it is. It's a bot-driven, AI-driven influencing operation to keep people in the emotional space. That's what it's for. It's not for anything else. It's not for news. Because I don't know if you watch your feed, but my feed repeats itself. I see the same shit posted over and over and over again. And yeah. I can do, you know, 10 refreshes on the site, turn it off, turn it back on, same bullshit. So to me, it's literally just one big collection operation and influence the operation. So I don't spend a whole lot of time in Twitter. I, you know, I go out to revolver.news. I'll look at the Washington Pundit, but they're actually publishing real things. But again, there's a time lag with people that are actually citing sources and quoting sources, right? And that's the price. And part of it is that by waiting that extra time period and not going with the first story, then I see how things develop. And by the time they publish something, the story will have been developed over 2 or 3 days and you'll see what it's really about. So I'm looking at this whole situation with basically skepticism and pessimism, because I think 98.99999% of everything we see now is bullshit. I think the 0.001% that's, or, you know, 0.002% or 1%, however you want to look at it, is, you know, somewhat true. There's still lies and falsehood in it. So all of it adds up. And over time, we see that the original story is way different than what the actual truth is. So I'm not putting my stock in anything that I see firsthand. Like the Russia story about the attacks, I waited 24 to 48 hours before I even formed an opinion on it, because I'm like, that could be CGI. That could all be AI. That could all be CGI. And we would never know the difference if it even happened. Even the videos of smoke coming up from the airports from a distance, that could all be CGI. And we wouldn't know the difference. And if Putin's in on it, Putin's compromised like everybody else being controlled, and this is all theater, then what are we going to do about it anyway? But the fact that nobody's been arrested and the fact that they haven't done anything to change the situation for the American people, meaning they haven't defunded and abolished the IRS, they haven't abolished the Fed, they haven't defunded the FBI, they haven't defunded the ATF, they haven't defunded the DEA, they haven't defunded or done away with the NFA. So what have they done? They've done fuck all. It's just words. All of it's just fucking words. It's all it is.
Yep. Yep. You know? And the anger is growing.
That's because
you could see it everywhere.
People are on the edge of fucking poverty right now. You know, look, there's so many unemployed people, and I just having this conversation with my kid. There's so much unemployment in the market that the average used to apply to like 30 or 40 jobs before you finally got picked up. Now that number is 200 to 1,000 before you're even looked at. And there's already strikes against you. White guy strike against you because you're not in the DEI crowd. And DEI is still out there. Two, if you don't have pronouns, if you're not in that whole space, then guess what? You don't get a second look. And if you're over a certain age, you don't get a second look. So there's all these things in the market that are working against people. And people have been out of work for over a year. But, you know, the economy's fine. This big, beautiful spending bill that's going to triple our national debt is going to fix everything. Wake up. They're looting the fucking vault before the bank closes. That's all they're doing. They're not doing anything else. They haven't done anything else. So wake up. There's no part of anybody in office right now that's going to lead to the deep state being blown up, people being arrested. They'd have done it by now. And I don't want to hear another fucking cutard tell me that they're collecting the evidence or whatever. There's so much evidence on Obama alone that he should have been in prison on day one. And I'm telling you, I would have handled that whole situation differently. I would have been, my first executive order, in fact, my first order to the military, mobilize the 82nd, mobilize 101st, send them to Washington, D.C., and arrest everyone, and we'll sort them out in Gitmo, get to work. But instead, it's this, he signed, you know, 8,000 executive orders, you know, to call the Gulf of Mexico, the Gulf of America, who cares? They haven't institutionalized any of the Doge cuts. Okay, why not? You see my point? It's all just noise. They haven't done shit. They're not going to do shit. And the like all these people that are wrapped up in the MAHA stuff, why didn't they ban mRNA vaccines on day one and arrest all of pharmaceutical executives and Bill Gates? Why didn't they do that?
And the bill, the big beautiful turd or bill or whatever, has the allowance for the new replicator shot.
Of course it does. Of course it does, because they're all owned by pharma. These people are all traitors. I don't know why it's such a debate. They're not.
Yeah, gonna do anything. I had zero faith in Kennedy. You know, from his own candidacy, I knew he was just a freaking joke.
Well, the guy that called him out was Dr. Shiva, and you know, yeah. Dr. Shiva called him out spot on. But
Dr. Shiva can be ruthless.
Yeah.
And look, I like him.
The thing that's sitting in everybody's craw right now is the fact that people want accountability. And it, this time around, there's no acceptable answer other than accountability. And if Trump doesn't do it by the end of his term, the American people will do it. And they will do it in a very harsh way. And, you know, I'm actually kind of surprised that the fire attack or whatever it was a couple of days ago, I'm surprised that hasn't happened more. Mm. And not just by the left. There's people on the right that are off the reservation right now, too. I'm just waiting for that to come home to roost, because it will. Somebody will go off of the reservation. And to me, that's going to be the catalyst that starts all this. It's not going to be some, you know, tantrum that two oligarchs have while they're doing a dick waving contest in DC. Nobody gives a shit about that. But they do give a shit about the fact that Obama and the Clintons are still walking the streets and they have committed treason. That bugs a lot of people. Watching Lindsey Graham commit treason right out in the open, then spend $400,000+ on hotels and hookers. Come on. Somebody arrest this guy.
Yeah.
Right. And if you're not going to arrest him, then I guarantee you somebody will go off the reservation. That's inevitable at this point. And more power to him.
You know, these Senate and House foreign trips need to be investigated, period. There's too much of that bullshit going on.
It's been going on for years, right? This isn't a new phenomenon. This kind of stuff's been going on for years. In fact, it's just blatantly obvious now to the American people. It was hidden better back then. Now it's just harder to hide. That's all there is to it.
The one thing that I found interesting is there were calls for Lindsey Graham's passport to be revoked while he's out of the country, so he can't get back in.
He's a sitting senator. The only way to deal with the guy is to arrest him, perp walk him, and send him to Gitmo. That's the only thing to do. So, I want to transition, though, because I want to keep this to an hour. Let's talk the threat. What do you see is the most pressing threat right now to the average American? I wanted to get there. We went off on a tangent as usual. Bruce, I'm going to start with you. I'm picking on you. Biggest threat right now. Yeah. What's the biggest threat you see?
I'm just thinking.
Think faster.
I think that the biggest threat I see, you know, is something with these potential, like, you know, the Storming America series podcasts Rupert put out. I think that those are highly likely sometime this summer, possibly. I think that a financial kind of crisis is highly likely anytime, depending on when they think it's needed. And I keep hearing lots of rumors of new attempts at pandemics. We'll see. But I think the biggest threat to the average American is actually your public school and your kids. And if you can, in the immediate sense, that's probably the biggest thing that you can do to improve the security of your family is get your family out of the government systems as much as possible.
Long shot.
Well, I mean, you know, the globally, the escalation and push for, you know, another world war, and you know, locally or stateside, you know, I'm amazed that people have kept their powder dry, and you know, I don't know how long people are going to be able to continue to hold out and put faith, you know, in a bunch of, you know, smack and bullshit talk. I agree with everybody, and it's always been the message, you know, get involved in your community. You know, the more involved locally in your community, the easier it is to be able to figure out sooner than later who's the trustworthy people, you know, and in any form of volunteerism, you know, I would like to see more people, you know, put down the damn social media and their phones and get involved with the American Legion, the rescue, you know, all the stuff that I've been preaching all along. It's just be involved, you know, be a solid person people can look up to for advice and support, and somebody, you don't necessarily have to be a leader in your community, but somebody that can be there when somebody needs you, you know, a friend or a neighbor that you trust, and you know, all that comes back tenfold to you. And yeah, you know, just continue to be situationally aware. You know, I see more and more foreigners passing through, you know, my area every day, and you know, they're moving deeper into the rural areas. So
that's by design. Yeah. I think there's three threats. I think Bill's right. I think there's a definite threat from cyber ransomware or some kind of malware that's going to incapacitate our systems. I think there's definitively a kinetic threat from imported intelligence funded, let's just say terror organizations that are here in the country. That predictive programming wasn't done for a reason, wasn't done for, you know, without a purpose. And I think the third thing is that this escalation by Russia is an escalation that could potentially go nuclear. I don't think it will, but it could. And I think that's, you know, a distant third, but I think the, you know, they don't have to attack us to disrupt us. And cyber is the easiest way to do that. And that to me, especially with AI now, they can use AI to do it. So that to me is the near-term threat. That's why I've been beating the drum about how backups have air gap systems, have extra systems put away that you can operate with, and have some cash on hand. If it's gold, silver, whatever, have something you can barter with on hand. Because if they take the banks down, which they very well could, then guess what? You're going to be screwed to try and get anything unless you barter for it. And there'll be plenty of theft and plenty of crime to go along with that as people run out of resources. So, you know, have some weapons, ammo, extra food, and extra water, the normal stuff, use your gear. But expect that, you know, as the tempo, and by the way, the tempo of both the messaging and all these news events has increased threefold. So I anticipate that the other threat is going to be information saturation for people, right?
It's like a pinball game.
Yeah. So I disconnect from it. Yeah. And I disconnect from it, right? I don't give fuck all about the mainstream media. I could give two shits about social media. And, you know, I'm to the point where I don't even look at Twitter other than to peruse to see what the latest narratives and bullshit is. Right. I really don't pay attention to it. The things I pay attention to, like I said, Revolver.News, the Washington Pundit, sources that actually are doing real news stories. Right. Is there a lag time? Yeah. But most of what you're seeing now is bullshit anyway. So don't get wrapped up in information overload. If you're saturated, take a break, put your phone down. That's what I do. So yeah, in fact, I'm going to go take the four-legged landscapers outside here because they're both sitting here.
There's a comment. Steven in Texas says, drone hell coming. I think when you guys were talking, I was thinking about this. Is imagine there's some kind of false flag drone attack on a U.S. B-52 base.
Just what about a civilian event on the 4th of July?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a myriad of ways. My point is some kind of an attack is probably in the works, and be ready for anything. Look, I'm going to avoid public gatherings at all costs. The other one is you can use drones against airliners that are taxiing on a runway and stacked up ready to take off. There's a million things they can do to mess with us. They can take down the air traffic control system. They cause chaos. It's not that hard.
If they hit the control towers.
Well, they don't have to hit the control towers because most of them are empty because they fired everybody. So, what are you going to do, right? You take down the ATC system. There's not enough air traffic controllers. Guess what? Airplanes are going to start running into each other, or they're going to run out of fuel and run into the ground. My point is there's a million ways they can fuck with us. They don't need to attack us with missiles. They can use drones to go after key nodes, and we would never know it was a drone that hit it. Or they could go after a public gathering and take a lot of people out with very low cost weapons. I mean, I'm not trying to speculate on what it is. I'm just saying that the biggest threats I see right now is cyber, and cyber includes drones, because that's a part of the cyberspace, right? It could be autonomous. It could be wire guided. It could be radio guided. You don't know, but they could take over drones. They could take over aircraft. There's a lot of different things they can do with cyber. So like I said, it's a big threat. Anyway, I'm going to close this out, and we'll be doing another path forward. We're going to finish up this part, the second part of our AI conversation. I mean, the problem with AI is there's such a volume of information to talk about. And I'll be following up with a Substack this weekend, talking about the key points from the last show and things to consider. And then I'm going to do a show next week with Tom Luongo and his partner Dexter on money management. The following week, I'll be doing a show on predictive programming. I'm trying to get what's not quite confirmed yet, but I've got somebody that's very, very experienced in both psychological operations and biological operations. So look forward to that. Hopefully that one will come together, because that's the one I really want to do. I'll be back next week with the path forward and then a sit rep. And I'll probably keep these sit reps open for the guys in the round table so we can talk about current issues. Until then, folks, God bless. One team, one fight.
One team.
Thanks, guys.
See you, Mike.